There's a 14-line poem, a sonnet, written 150 years ago by Victorian poet Gerard Manley Hopkins. At the time, the world and the economy were in chaos. People had become disconnected from God. Sound familiar? The poem begins, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God." What a beautiful line of poetry. The world is charged with the grandeur of God. God flows like electricity through the world and through people. Even when the world and people don't pay attention to God, God is flowing and moving. Today we heard one of the most beautiful poems in all of history, written about 3,500 years ago. It's a poem of 7 stanzas describing the grandeur of God. Stanza 1, "In the chaos and in the darkness, God created light and called it daytime." In other words, God created time. And it was good. Day 2, "God created the sky, the atmosphere, and it was good." Day 3, "God created the dry ground and plants, and it was good." Day 4, "God created the sun, the moon, the stars, and it was good." Day 5, "God created the birds and the sea creatures, and it was good." Day 6, "God created animals and humans, and it was very good." Day 7, "God rested, creating Sabbath." Sabbath rest. "God blessed the day," we're told, "and hallowed the day." In other words, it was holy. The first 5 days of creation were good. Day 6 was very good. That's where we come in. And the 7th day was holy. I teach this more extensively in the membership class, as some of you know. And you know that this poem was never intended to be given to us as science. It's poetry. And it teaches us our first and most beautiful truth about God. Out of chaos, out of darkness, things that are not good, God creates what is good and what is very good and what is holy. This creation poem was written when God's people were slaves in Egypt. To say the least, their lives were chaotic and dark. They were slaves. This creation poem was written for them as a poem of hope. It was written as a promise that God, by nature, always turns chaos into new life, darkness into light. We have hundreds of stories in Scripture that show us how God transforms chaos into new life. For the Israelites in Egypt, God turned their chaos, the chaos of slavery, into a trip home. We have hundreds of stories telling us that God turns darkness into light. God turns sickness into health. Even God turns death into life. From the beginning of time, that's what this poem is telling us. From the beginning of time, God enters in and transforms chaos into new life and darkness into light. And our faith tells us that God continues to do this. This is the nature of God. To paraphrase the first line of the poem, I like to say, the church is charged with the grandeur of God. One of the difficult facts about the church over the many years that the church has been around is that chaos happens. The church can't avoid chaos because the church is made up of human beings. But together, we believe and we act that we're the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is charged with the grandeur of God. Our task is to recognize the grandeur of God in the world and in the church. Jesus said it this way, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. This is a promise that the powers of chaos and the powers of darkness will not destroy the church. Jesus promised that. Chaos and darkness never win. God's story always ends with new life, with resurrection. God's story is all about redemption. The church's story always ends with new life and resurrection. The church's story ends with redemption. I once heard a sermon by a rabbi. It was a sermon preached after a natural disaster. There had been chaos, destruction, and even death. The rabbi's synagogue members wanted an explanation about such a tragic act of God. That's the phrase insurance companies use when there are natural disasters. The rabbi said in the sermon, "That was not an act of God. That was an act of nature. The act of God happens when the people in the community stepped up and helped one another." The grandeur of God isn't seen in chaos or natural disasters. The truth of the creation poem is that God created people, and people are created to help people. And when God created people, it changed from good, good, good to very good. When people help people, we can see, if we open our eyes and our souls, we can see the grandeur of God. And this is the grandeur of the church. Here's another paraphrase of the sonnet. Our daily lives are charged with the grandeur of God. For my daily prayers, in my daily prayers, I have a list of 10 types of chaos. Every day I pray as a blanket prayer for anyone who has any of these 10 things. They are stress, anxiety, frustration, depression, grief, anger, fear, loneliness, overwhelmingness, and misery. The good news today is that it's God's nature, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to enter in and give new life and healing to all these kinds of chaos. And any kind of chaos that I miss in my list of 10. In my daily prayer, by the way, underneath that list, I have a small little prayer from the book of Psalms. Come quickly, Lord. Now, the poem of creation took place in 7 days. Oh, that such chaos of that list of 10 would end in 7 days. But of course, the world is 4.5 billion years old. So it usually takes longer than what we expect or even hope for. And so we wait for God to do something. And we pray, come quickly, Lord. We keep praying, come quickly, Lord. Sometimes a day or a week or a month, 7, even years, might seem like a billion years to us when we're going through one of those times of chaos. We often hear the advice to live one day at a time. We believe that in every one of our days, God creates new life somehow, in some way, because that's the only way we can live one day at a time. And our daily lives are charged with the grandeur of God. In a short while, we're going to sing a beautiful song titled, Come Join the Dance of Trinity. It was written about 25 years ago, a relatively new hymn. But this emphasis on dance comes from an ancient teaching about the Trinity. In Greek, one of my favorite Greek words, but I think you hear that from me a lot. In Greek, the dance is perichoresis. I love that word, perichoresis. That's the dance of the Trinity. That term has been around for thousands of years. The hymn that we're about to sing uses the word in the last verse, interweaving. That's a good translation of perichoresis, of dancing. For centuries, this teaching has been the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are moving together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as in a dance. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, are always together, always active, always alive, always present, always bringing life wherever there's been chaos. The song we're about to sing reminds us that we join the dance of Trinity, and God gives us love and hope. Listen for these: love and hope and new life, freedom and forgiveness and joy. The grandeur of God is the dance of Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the last spoken words that Matthew gives us of Jesus is a promise. Remember, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the truth we celebrate today. God is always with us in our lives, in the world, in the church, in our daily lives, dancing in the world, dancing in the church. God is dancing in our daily lives. The world, the church, and our daily lives are charged with the grandeur of God. Let us pray. Bring to mind the chaos in the world today, the wars, the violence, the suffering, the injustice, the oppression, the pain. Closer to home, think of any chaos in your daily life and in the lives of those you love. Think about the stress, anxiety, frustration, depression, grief, anger, fear, loneliness, overwhelmingness, and misery. And now here, in the depths of your soul, the grandeur of God, God speaks, I am with you always. I am with you always. I am with you always. Some of you know that after Saturday worship, I go home and I listen to the sermon and I tweak the sermon to improve it for Sunday morning. Well, I did that last night, and I had ad-libbed that moment about the interweaving of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I said it was in verse 4. And I didn't pay real close attention to the hymn until we sang it today and noticed that in the first verse talks about the interweaving of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the fourth verse talks about the interweaving of people in the church, of believers. That is my tweak of my earlier sermon.